freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
After all, a bunch of slaves! A bunch of slaves!
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. This is your official alternative to the corporate agenda and mainstream narrative. It is November the 17th, 2015. Make sure to join us live every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific at www.ucy.tv/TAMR. And you can catch replays of our show on YouTube just by searching for Anti-Media Radio. I'm going to start the show off like we do every single episode with a few statistics that the corporate media somehow doesn't keep the public up to date on. We have so far seen 1,046 Americans killed by police officers so far since January the 1st, 2015. There have also been 110 police officers die this year in the line of duty. That includes 33 officers killed by gunfire, 27 automobile accidents, 17 of heart attacks, and the statistics just go down from there. Also, the city of Chicago, with its strict gun laws, has seen 2,671 people shot so far in 2015 and 445 homicides. And Saudi Arabia, America's great ally, that does what they want when they want, has executed at least 151 people so far in 2015 compared to 78 in all of 2014. Most of those by beheading as well. We are joined in the studio tonight by the incomparable Kevin Knight. Kevin, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Mr. Gibson. Doing great, man. It's good to be back with you all.
And the wonderful, astute, everyone's favorite producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how's it going?
I wouldn't say everyone's favorite producer. I've got a few stories about that that I'll tell some other
time. You're mine.
Doing wonderful, Mr. Gibson. We got some stuff to talk about tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world right now. It looks like we are creeping ever so more swiftly into World War III. So that's fun, and that's a lot to talk about. We have since had the horrible Paris attacks that have occurred since we were last on air last Thursday. Also, last Thursday, a terrorist attack that has barely been mentioned. 43 people died in Beirut, Lebanon, by two suicide bombers, and that includes a 14-year-old. Came into a public area and detonated themselves, and now 43 people have died in a terrorist attack in Beirut, Lebanon last Thursday. And also in Nigeria, there was a bombing in a public square where 32 were killed and 80 were injured. And I definitely want to mention them while the world has their eyes on Paris right now. It's terrible for the families and the people that were killed in the other two locations. So, your take on the whole Paris thing right now and where we're going?
where to begin? First off, as I was compiling notes for the show tonight, I just saw a couple of things that really struck me as odd. Few things, because, you know, we have to read a lot of the same news story from different news sources to kind of pick pieces here and there to try to get a more complete picture for our audience. Francis, they were attacked and they started following this U.S. blueprint that we've seen so many times, that most of the attackers, they hailed from France or Belgium, as we've seen a vast majority of them are French nationals. France bombed Syria.
And you know, that it goes back to 9/11, the 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia, and we go into Iraq.
And you know, of course, they were bombing the Syrian, but they were, you know, again, they were from France and bombing Syria. Okay. French President Hollande extended a state of emergency and calls for a changing of the constitution in France to deal with terrorism. Where have we seen that before?
Sounds like the French are about to get their version of the Patriot Act.
Remember, have a Fourth Amendment?
Barely.
Or a First Amendment, for that matter, and they're working on the second one right now.
So, okay, Shannon, what are the changes he wants to bring to the Constitution? What are some of the things he's talking about? I know that right now that they currently have 10,000 troops that spread around the country, so they are on lockdown of martial law pretty much right now. The government is free to do what it wants as far as coming and going from your household to search what they deem appropriate to help fight terrorism. And something else that you mentioned that kind of is similar to 9/11 is we see the passports make it, which we know that at least two of the passports were fake. We believe that they came from Turkey, but apparently it's really easy to get a Syrian passport. A journalist just in September went and bought himself a Syrian passport for $825. So it's not incomprehensible to hear of something like this. What are you, Kevin, what's your overview and the take of just the attacks themselves and maybe the direction that they're going to lead us?
Well, you know, obviously it didn't take very long for the French to start bombing targets that were apparently given to them, intelligence that is, given to them by the U.S. military. Which raises another question about why, if the U.S. military or the intelligence services had this knowledge, why did it take France having a terrorist attack for them to actually act upon it? That's another story for maybe another time. But, you know, like anybody, it's a tragedy. I hate that it took a tragedy for people to at least become even aware of Beirut and some of the other places that we've seen some of these terrorist
attacks.
And
we've seen one mentioned from Kenya, like it just happened the past few days, and actually it happened back earlier this year, that just kind of recycled through the news cycle because of this.
Right, and that's on the back of, I believe, the same, if I'm not mistaken, where the young girls were taken. Is that the same country? General region, you know, that whole country, that whole region is getting worse and worse. And, of course, Yemen's not too far away, and they're seeing the repercussions of not only U.S. interventionism, but other countries getting involved. And
that goes back to Saudi Arabia.
Right, in another proxy war, Saudi Arabia, of course, doing their thing like some of the other countries are doing, spread their influence where they can. Of course, Saudi Arabia being the great U.S. ally.
Which makes me sick every time I hear that.
And suspect to the 9/11 attacks, per apparently the 20.
You mean the 9/11 attacks that we apparently knew about long before they happened? Clinton administration apparently has now kind of come out that they kind of knew that was going to happen, and that there was all of these Muslim men, Arab Muslim men, that decided to go ahead and take up flight school.
Right. Yeah. Not surprising. You know, Bill Cooper had some interesting quote speaking to just that thing. You know, but it's another long series of terrorist attacks that we find out later on that various intelligence services had some degree of knowledge about it, and as it seemed, it's almost like a playbook. You know, they didn't have any knowledge, and now slowly they had a little bit of knowledge, but of course it wasn't. It was apparently vague. But now even Iraq is doubling down and saying, no, we actually gave you plenty of information, detailed information. I don't know if it's not been reported very much either, but apparently a group of...
Yeah, Iraq doesn't want any more bombs being dropped there.
Oh, yeah. I can't blame them. But, you know, they stopped another guy. German authorities stopped another truckload of I won't speculate where exactly they came from. Middle Eastern guys, fellas, with full of AK-47s, M-16s, apparently a lot of explosives, bulletproof vests and such, and the GPS was plugged into, was there actually apparently headed to France, and it's been reported and picked up, so that's another interesting, and this guy actually caught, had crossed the border, one of their southern borders, but yeah, it's getting worse and worse. I would be curious to see what if anything, it comes this way.
Well, I tell you, definitely the fear machine is in full motion right now. Speaking of Germany, we had a friendly match in Hanover between Germany and the Netherlands was canceled tonight, and they insinuating that it was because of threats of terrorism, and they had to keep everybody out of the stadium. And we've also saw two Air France planes tonight be grounded from Los Angeles. One, I think they had to pull over in Halifax, Canada, and the other was in Salt Lake City, I believe. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely going to use this to keep everybody heightened and scared. When people are scared, they're definitely more prone to pull the trigger. We've seen that right after 9/11, and we're seeing in France. You know, there's 10,000 troops on the ground, you know, no big deal. Please
especially
keep us
martial
safe.
Law, de facto.
That's it. And we've seen the Paris, since the attacks, the stock prices of the military contractors have risen.
No. Come on, man. You're raising this is some of this conspiracy theory talk that I keep trying to get, steer you away from. Come on.
Really?
That's a real thing. It's a real thing.
But is it shocking to anybody that this would take place?
Not a bit.
We had Raytheon, we had Northrop Grumman, we had Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, and Thales saw increases in a day that was rather calm for the rest of the market. So the defense companies, as soon as there's, you know, a hint of blood in the water, they're on top of this.
Wow.
War's big business. And they make good money off of it. And we're seeing a direct result of this. This isn't some grand scheme. This is going and taking place right in front of our face. More money is being made.
You're saying they make money off this. Who is they?
The investors of these corporations.
Big Dick makes his money.
Reminds me of some of Lord of War. I had to go back and watch that movie last night again with Nicolas Cage. Of course, it's a little more... I'm sure a lot tamer in the movie.
You know, you look a little like Nick Cage.
Do I?
Yeah.
Which
one?
Yeah. Oh, man.
A younger Nick Cage.
A better Nick Cage than Tom Green. I don't know where that comes from.
Tom Green?
Yeah, can you believe that?
I don't see that.
I don't either. I'm glad to hear somebody else. My wife even gets a kick out of that. But I tell her she needs to put her glasses back on.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, along with, of course, the weapon sales going up. The fallback and the negative repercussions that a lot of refugees, and not just refugees, but even and potentially American nationals and even immigrants that have been here for some time are going to potentially face negative repercussions because of all of this. And it's a shame that so many Americans don't realize that ISIS, you know, that we keep hearing these complaints that ISIS wants to kill all the Christians and kill all the Jews. But you know, ISIS is, we need to remind people of this sometimes. And can be difficult. That ISIS has killed way more Muslims than they have Christians and or Jews together. That's been pretty apparent for anybody, and it should be considering the makeup, religious makeup, or ethnic makeup a lot of the Middle East. So, you know, and this plays right in the hands of ISIS, and they know it. They want Islamophobia, so to speak, to quote, to use that catchword. And, you know, they want this. It's going to only drive further people that may be on the fence to feel like they've been backed into a cage. And now, however warped the view may be, justified or not, it's going to make them potentially feel like they have no choice, and they've been forced into a civil war, which, you know, has a lot of repercussions potentially, because there's some people on the other side that are going to feel like, hey, they're being backed into a corner. And, you know, it feeds along with the military-industrial loop. They're going to do this thing, but social and politically, it's going to do its thing here at home and abroad. It's a real shame.
The thing that's amazing to me, too, is I think if you came up and asked the average white Southerner if they identified with the Ku Klux Klan, they would say, oh, absolutely not. Of course I don't. And you explain to them, well, you're not allowed to travel now. You're not allowed to go into other countries because you are, you know, a white American Southerner, just like people in the Klan are, and they're, you know, committing all these horrible acts. So that represents you now. Well, of course they don't represent me. Of course they don't. You know, I'm me. But when it's Muslims, there's 1.6 billion of them on the planet. They say, well, can't take any chances here. We got to go ahead and keep these guys out.
Right.
And it's complete hypocrisy, and nobody's looking through with the end result. They're just, it's all fear. It's all terror. You know, keep me safe. Keep me safe. Build a wall. Spy on me.
Right. I hear all the time complaints, and I'm sure you guys hear just as much about, oh, the Muslim guy at the gas station. You know, but regardless of whether or not that person is Muslim or not, you have to stand, stop and think. And you would think people would recognize this, but sometimes it unfortunately has to be pointed out that if every Muslim person you think is Muslim, if they're as dangerous as you think, your head would be cut off by now. We would see all of these terrorist attacks.
Well, think about this. You know, again, there's 1.6 billion Muslims on this planet. If Muslims were really, you know, trying to take over the world, it would have happened already.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah, we would have been dead a long time ago.
Well, they have the Chinese to contend with, but, you know.
But they've got their own, they've got some pushback, too.
It's just a ridiculous thought, and it's the tool of fear being used by the governments through the hand of the media. To encourage this so they can get away with doing whatever they want to do. We're seeing the Royal Air Force now drone bomb Syria, supporting France. So UK's involved. We're already involved in Syria. Obama did come out and earlier today and suggested, you know, we're not going to be putting troops on the ground in Syria. But he definitely is suggesting that we keep training people, we keep arming people, we keep training, we keep arming, we keep training, we keep arming. And
we create the next Al Qaeda. We create the next.
That's ISIS. It. That's what we've done with ISIS.
The next Sandinistas. We you know, I mean, the list is long.
But this thought rushed over me when I was watching him speak, and it feels like we're in this perpetual cycle of, okay, we're going to get 8 years of this Democrat, which we discussed at length on the show about how we're going to have a Republican president in 2016. And it feels like we're in the cycle that we're going to have a Democrat president that is going to bomb people, but it's not going to be as crazy as a Republican being president. But he's going to arm and train these people, arm and train these people for 8 years. And then when the Republican gets there, they're going to be out of control. They're going to be the bad guys, quote unquote. And we're going to now have to go into war for 8 years. And we'll repeat the cycle all over again. And that feels like that's where we're at right now.
It's not a surprise either. I mean, you pretty much nailed it. No matter, of course, I know it's been repeated many times over, Republicans or Democrats, the president, of course, is not all powerful, but, you know, unfortunately, they're picking from a group of advisors that have necessarily sometimes higher callings, and a lot of them have a lot of ties, a lot of organizational ties, like Council of Foreign Relations, for example. You know, that's a powerful organization, and of like-minded individuals, something that Kennedy even complained about when he was in office, not being able to have advisors that were not from basically the same pot. So it's no surprise that we're going to keep seeing the welfare warfare state warfare, you know, greatly outweighing the welfare state at this point. It's
especially when you see the stocks going up just from
boom, yeah, just like that. Yeah.
Right. You know, the war, quote unquote, hasn't really kicked off yet, and they're already cashing in. So just imagine once this really gets ramped up, what their profits will
be. Right.
I really wish I could have known that this was going to happen a couple days before, that I could have bought me some stock.
Throw some bucks.
Did anybody else know this was going to happen before it happened?
That's a good question.
Well, it is a great question.
We need to get somebody on the research on that immediately.
We really need to see who's buying what stocks.
Who made some big investments in those five defense contractors the week before, a couple weeks before. I would be curious to find that out.
Did you either of you fellas see that Russia apparently is talk of them moving nuclear armaments around? And apparently there's talk, and of course, who knows if this is going to happen. If the stories are being believed, they've got the approval, so to speak, or the clear from NATO. I still find it a little bit hard to believe that they're going to go for it and nuke, drop a nuke. Of course, there's video online now of them using the white phosphorus, which not that I'm really overly concerned about the Geneva Convention for the purpose of this conversation, but which for just for context anyways, that weapon is banned for use under the Geneva Convention when fighting generic armies, which, you know, whether or not you believe ISIS is a generic army. It's interesting to see, though, that the weaponry and the weight of Russia coming down as the U.S. is getting ready to do whatever they're going to do, but that France is really, really hitting them. And I'm still so perplexed the fact that France would bomb all these targets using American intelligence, but yet America had not already done it, and it took France to actually do it. I don't get that. I think we possibly should be better off sitting back and letting Russia do what Russia's doing. They seem to be, by all indications, doing a good job, especially with the understanding and permission of Syria and Iran. Excuse me, Syria and Iran.
And that's a huge difference, too, that people don't focus on, and I don't think a lot of people realize, is that Russia was invited.
Right.
Into Syria. Mm-hmm. We weren't.
Right.
The United States was not invited to do anything they're doing. They just showed up and says, okay, we'll take care of this. Don't worry about it.
With the purpose, of course, at this point, not so much a secret, but it's to oust Bashar al-Assad. You know, we're trying to oust the head of that that government, who's been the head of power for decades now. And, you know, with all intents and purposes, we're at war with Syria. It's just not called a war, but I forget who exactly was saying it earlier this week. I'm sure you guys heard, but now the stated goal is to occupy and direct Syria and boots on the ground, but not just, but we're talking about setting up basically a government ran by America.
It's just like what we heard right before we brought our broadcast tonight. The president clearly stating that, no, we're just going to keep doing business as usual over there. There's no sense in us getting directly involved. And that's probably the main reason we're not getting more directly involved, and we haven't put more boots on the ground in Syria yet, because Putin is involved in the level that he's involved in. It now has become a cockwagon contest over there, if you want to get down to it. And, you know, that's not, I mean, you know, we can you know, shoot terrorists and caves all day long, but this is freaking Russia.
Right. Well, what do you think about the idea of actually of working with Russia? You know, a lot of people are there's some out there that are against. You know, I don't necessarily trust Putin. I'm not a Putin praiser, like a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people are. But you know, how do you feel about the wisdom of us at least sharing at minimum intelligence, assuming we're not already?
I don't think having open communication is ever a bad thing. But at the same time, as far as, you know, holding hands side by side down the pathway into Syria, getting into a war we shouldn't be involved in, I think we need to just, you know, take our hands off the table and be like, you know, this is not our fight. We're going to come on home now, and you do what you got to do. But as far as the intelligence side of things, I definitely think more communication is definitely the thing to go.
Well, I mean, at what point, though, do we say enough is enough and we keep, We stop the cycle that we have over there? I mean, at what point do we pull out of the Middle East and say, okay, y'all want to fight about it? Y'all fight about
we're
it.
Doing.
We're done. We're out. And, you know, so many times there's been a few candidates that have come up in the recent election cycle that have brought that up, and usually to thunderous applause. And then we have Marco Rubio, $1 trillion. we ain't going to just double down. We're going to quadruple down. We're going back to farm and the cars and a couple of our kids. We're going to put the whole thing on there. We're
and he's gaining
and
more traction.
And you're a damn isolationist.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's the exact word Marco Rubio used as...
For Rand Paul.
For Rand Paul.
Yeah. We all know that he's an isolationist.
You know, I will say, even if you're not a Sean Rand supporter, if you are of somewhere of like mind or against the warfare state, I don't see how you could at least not cheer on Rand's argument in that. If not even, it's not even you have to support him in a presence. I think people should be glad that that argument's being made on a national stage in the manner that it was. I think Rand did a great job. It's about time for his campaign that he shined a little bit. But he did a good job making that case that you cannot...
And my only concern with Rand, because Rand would have probably scored my vote quite some time ago, but the problem is he's still sewn in to the whole Republican Party notion and the notion of conservative versus liberal and so on and so forth. He's learned how to speak that party rhetoric in order to keep that PAC money, the Republican PAC money, flowing his way.
And there's another thing. There's another thing he's done that I completely disagreed with, but it goes back to Rubio calling him an isolationist at the end of last year. And it's a story the past couple of days that's kind of made the rounds on social media again. But it actually happened at the end of 2014, is that Rand Paul wanted to vote in Congress and declare an open war against ISIS. But this is the man that's in isolationist. He was just trying to do the legal approach where you actually declare war instead of having these illegal wars where you're sending troops overseas.
Where you just shut up and start kicking ass.
So
it's after you stop the flow of the money here, the weapons you're giving to said groups, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's another thing he says. We should stop arming and funding these people. I don't believe we should be declaring war on anybody, but I don't think we should be over there. If you're going to be over there, definitely declare war. But in isolation is when he's trying to declare war. Marco Rubio just wants to throw more money at it and go invade countries.
And a lot of that money, of course, we've seen how that money gets spent and misappropriated and sometimes just flat out disappears.
And then the claim of him, I've heard that argument, he's a family man. That's why he has missed so many of his votes. For a family man, he obviously doesn't care much about further being willing to put the debt of the whole country and its children's future on the line just to continue the warfare.
Well, would he send his children into these wars? That's the question.
Right. They're going to be paying for
this. I tell you what, that's going to get the perspective of a caller this evening. Area code 406. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. I'm your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you are calling from this evening.
My name's Shania, and I'm calling from Montana.
Shania, what's on your mind tonight?
I'm very overwhelmed with all the hatred and the bad energy that's coming from what's going on from the terrorist attack. I personally am an empath, so I can feel other people's energy and all the hatred and all the chaos. Everything that's being spread is only adding to the problem. I think a lot of Americans are blinded by the propaganda and the media, and they believe what they see before they look into it and use their own discernment to know the truth. And the truth of the matter is ISIS is funded by the American government and the elitists of the United Nations, the One World Government. Their ISIS stands for, the secret sector of Israel. And
well, what do you think, with that aside, what do you think the end result of all this is going to be?
What was the end result of 9/11? It's another fear-mongering tactic to bring us closer to the New World Order. It's just to instill fear. 11/11, just the symbolism of of the matter. 1111 is the most powerful number of manifestations. They're using these terrorist attacks to manifest what they want our world to come to. And what they want our world to come to is a one-world government where they have all of your control. And so the more we feed into this energy, the more power we give them.
Exactly. And, you know, that's one thing that we try to do here at Anti-Media Radio is, you know, give the information back into the hands of the public. Because I think that an informed public and an educated public is needed to make intellectual decisions about what's going on in the world. And that empowers us. And I think information is empowering for what we're doing here. Back to the situation in Paris, not only Paris, but again, I do want to go ahead and kind of bring up again, since at the bottom of the hour, the other two terrorist attacks in the past week, the 43 who died in Beirut, and also the 32 who died and 80 injured in Nigeria. As far as those and the political chess game in the world, I do think that Paris is definitely, you know, a bigger move, and I think there's a lot more consequences behind Paris, and I think politically it's more important to talk about, but that doesn't mean that the people that passed away in the other two attacks are any lesser, and they shouldn't be remembered just as much as the victims of Paris. So, do you believe, Kevin, that this is going to result in... Are we walking closer into World War III, do you believe? Or do you think this is just going to kind of stay where it's stayed for the past 14 years, where it's just us interfering, you know, kind of chasing our tails?
I'd like to say that that we would see a lot less of this warfare state, and that we see a big drop in it, even its enthusiasm, which we've now seen riled back up, large part to what's going on in France. But, you know, it's the caller mentioned something I think is really important that we remember. It's and I've fallen in this trap, too, when speaking to people. And I have a tendency to blame, I guess it's a little harsh word to say, but when speaking to people and talking about the U.S. funding our enemies, it's important to remember, you know, she said that the U.S. is funding ISIS. It's not just the U.S., of course. Putin is speaking at the G20, I'm sure you guys saw that.
He's 40 countries.
Yeah, 40 countries are sponsoring, to some degree, ISIS.
According to Vladimir Putin.
Well, right, according to him, I would imagine, you know, he's been questioning, he calls out... The Obama administration's intelligence on bombing their so-called hits on these targets, these hospitals, for instance, and Putin's. We've seen a couple times where intelligence that they've provided have worked and have actually been the deciding factor in the real. Actually, you know, for instance, the case in Ukraine and tanks being on the road lined up to invade Crimea. So. I would imagine, especially speaking to the G20, I would imagine that list is probably there. And it's still not hard to imagine that 40 countries are doing so. They obviously are not just U.S. funded, but they're globally funded to some degree.
And there's definitely a lot of money to be made by ISIS presence in the region. It also serves the agenda of taking out Assad, which you spoke about a little bit earlier. I believe that the entire time this has about been taken out of sight, and I don't, you know, I don't personally think it's even been a secret that that's what their goal has
no,
been.
No, it's not. Pentagon, you know, they actually produced a report, I want to say it was filed through the Freedom of Information Act, through possibly even Judicial Watch, and that's basically what the Obama administration, the Pentagon rather, acknowledged, and this would probably lead to the rise of a caliphate over the general region.
We're repeating history, and the wild part is we're not repeating history that happened, you know, decades and decades ago.
Right, it should be in the memory of all of us.
And we're allowing it to take place again. They've got the stronghold of 9/11 as the major attack, so they can carry out, the smaller tax can be carried out, and then they can be used and leveraged to generate all this extra fear that necessarily wouldn't have been there after such an attack because 9/11 happened. And they can say, this happened, this another big one's about to happen, another big one's about to happen. We can't have that. Let's go bomb some people. Let's go make some more money.
And let's stomp on some civil liberties.
While
both
we're at
foreigners and fellow Americans.
We're going to take away, you know, your right of privacy, pretty much. The Fourth Amendment, yeah, what's that? That's gone.
We're going to go after the dark web, too.
Oh, and we're seeing that right now. We're seeing the anonymous attacks. Shane, you were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, we
it's up to, what, 3,800?
Yeah, we're almost 4,000 now of anonymous is attacking ISIS Twitter accounts, social media accounts, any shred of anything that they have on there. If you're associated with ISIS, look out. You will soon not be able to use the internet on your computer.
And that's something we know that big government has wanted to take away and attack for a long time. I think that is their biggest enemy is, you know, the circulation of information and people finding all this. Think about all the stuff we would not have a clue about if it wasn't for the internet.
Oh, right. And Al Gore, of course.
Thank you, Al Gore.
What would we not have? And, of course, you know, now we've
would seen, we have ever really heard about Snowden? I know that The Guardian printed it, and I get that, but they could have suppressed that so fast if we didn't have this free information, if everything was just controlled by the major corporations, the six big media conglomerates. They could have suppressed that very easily.
They could have. And it and suppress individuals. You know, it also takes individuals who understand what this fight is about, like Glenn Greenwald and Snowden, of course, what he did. But, of course, it took, you know, he had the information, but to get it through a conduit that and Glenn Greenwald, you know, be able to get it out there, it really takes dedication and it shows easily how using the internet, using information, and passion, if you care about a particular subject, how you can overcome a lot of the secrecy and the darkness that that is combating what good there is out there.
And, you know, I think, you know, I mentioned before, that's what our goal here is at Anti-Media in general. It's not for us or for what we do, but it's for people to become more informed and become more enlightened. And said this many times, I know you have, Shannon, and as well as me, is I know that we don't want people to accept what we say is 100% true or fact. We want to open your mind and you go research for yourself. Find this information out for yourself. Read it for yourself. Don't just take our word for it like most people do with Anderson Cooper or Sean Hannity.
If you're going to speak to your family, and at some point, I'm sure a lot of us sympathize with the idea of finding something out when we first became, so to speak, aware of what's going on, of trying to wake up our family and our family and our friends. And you need to be able to understand and to explain with a clear, concise explanation. It helps anyways, because at some point you're going to be called on that. So really, if you're into that,
that's just some piece of trash that you picked up off of a clickbait site.
Right. And even me, you know, I've seen a whole lot of very big people that I think are very reputable get called up sharing something that, and you know, I try to keep my mouth shut. Sometimes I can't help but just give them a hey, just so you know. I found out apparently it's better to do that through message rather than on their Facebook wall, so to speak. But yeah, misinformation is bad no matter how you go about using it.
Yeah. So, Shannon, World War III, yes or no?
One thing that we kind of, I don't think we really got into was the airliner, Russian airliner that was shot over Egypt airspace. Putin is waving his finger at Egypt now.
For allowing it or for sponsoring it?
It happened over their airspace, so they have to know something about something.
Right.
That's at least what Putin's assertion
is. Yeah, that's you've seen the pictures of him with that big furry hat he's got on. He's going to strap that furry hat and walk across Russia. and walk right up to their front doors and ask them what's going on. Right. He's taking no prisoners.
And Egypt, of course, is not. They're not denying it, right? That that was over their airspace. Are they contesting that?
I'm sure that
you would think surely so.
You have Putin with all of that nuclear armament. It's going to come, asking about a very inconvenient little,
a pretest on
things that happened over their airspace, and of course, they're
not mean.
It should be noted too, though.
I got to be fair. Egypt probably didn't have anything to do with it. There's no telling that region is so
could have been anybody. Right?
Could have been anybody.
Well, it should be noted too that Putin is coordinating now with France as far as their airstrikes go in Syria and attacking ISIS and the Islamic State. So we're going to have even more expanded war going on in Syria from Russia because they're considering the jet being blown up.
And I don't think anybody's proposed
being attacked by ISIS.
Wouldn't this be interesting if Russia just suddenly comes over and takes over the whole war against ISIS and completely pushes America out of the picture?
Well, it sounds like what they're already
doing. Hey, we got this guy. Y'all go back overseas. We'll take care of this mess that you started.
They seem to be very diplomatic about it, but they seem to be overshadowing.
Also talking about all of these players that are shooting at ISIS right now are nuclear powers.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
And I think we've definitely seen Putin take the reins of what's going on over there.
Oh, definitely. And a lot more successfully.
And also, too, he's kind of taking the reins of particularly your ultra-conservative, your Tea Party movement folks here in America. There is a lot of, I'm seeing a lot of social media that's casting Putin in this beautiful, glorious light with this soft aura and big manly poses, and
and that's not people's answer either. And people need to realize that he is, not a nice, wonderful man. Just because he's doing what they wish their own government would do to ISIS and go bomb and start all these wars, you have to remember too, he was invited, and it's not like he's in every country around the world either.
And he, too, is not he. He's got advisors. He's got, he's probably a lot more powerful, obviously, in his country than Obama is, but he's got advisors.
I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, without a freak.
I think that is an understatement.
He's a rock star over there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
It's like if Nick Saban were to run for governor here in Alabama, he would get 80% of the vote, hands down, because we have some
offers. Except Nick Saban's not worth $70 billion on that KGB salary.
If he brings us a national championship this year, he might be.
Oh, hey, Bob, by the way.
He deserves the raise, at least.
Listeners at home, if you see that Putin quote about Sharia law and sending Muslims, they want to speak and follow Sharia laws, that they need to go back to their own country, quit sharing that. It is so wrong and stupid. Look it up before you share that. I just had to say that because I've seen that so many times. And you can only reply and tell your friends and followers and that actually was not said.
You see that a lot on social media. Like the Kenya attacks were ushered around the internet the past couple of days like that, where something just happened, even though it took place at the beginning of the year. A lot of people see these shocking headlines and think it's one reason clickbait does so well. They see these shocking headlines and they don't bother reading the story. They don't bother looking into any quotes. They don't bother, doing their own research. And that's why I personally encourage everyone to do their own research. Don't take my word for anything that I say or I write or anti-media in general. Go find the stuff out for yourself. And I think the Putin quote is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, that and a lot of the refugee pictures, the quote-unquote refugee
Speaking of refugees, this is something else that we have not talked about, and I'm kind of shocked because we live in one of the states that is elected. All of these governors are going on record now and basically saying that we're not going to take Syrian refugees into our state borders.
Right.
What are y'all's feelings about that?
I understand where everybody's coming from. That being said, you can disagree. I think there's a lot of arguments to be made from both sides, a lot of poor arguments, a couple of good arguments. I'm a libertarian, You know, and of course, there's 1,000 different shades of libertarian. But 700 is it 700?
It's like there's 1,000 different shades of Muslim.
Right, right, of course. And I think that needs to be pressed upon and really furthered a lot more than what it has been. That's a hard lesson to give somebody every day, but I feel like I need to give it 10 or 15 times sometimes. Yeah, Bentley took some, I think he was one of the first actually along in Michigan to actually propose that. But apparently they're going to have a little bit of pushback with Reagan passing legislation back in the 1980s that basically forbid the U.S. states from allowing them to decide who comes into their borders internally. At this point, who's going to enforce it? Who's going to enforce it? But with the rest of the country, with more and more states getting on board, at what point is the U.S. going to battle it? You know, I think it's going to be a lot easier just to send people without asking the states. If the federal government wants to do it, I think they'll probably do it. And what is somebody going to do? Wave a flag and show up and try to block, the vans?
And what's the end result of this, though? It's just
more fear from the state of Alabama, and we have done things like that before. But.
Well, it didn't happen with HB 56, you know, when all the Hispanics that come in. It's been kind of
Tell you what, I want to go ahead and go to a caller now. Area code 636. Welcome to Anti Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from this evening.
This is Bubba from St. Louis, Missouri.
Bubba, how's it going? What's on your mind tonight?
Not much, man. I saw these Paris attacks, boy. That's some Israelis, boy. I know it for sure.
So what makes you think such a thing?
Because they're the ones with the most to benefit, boy. Come on now. They're trying to get them refugees to America. So they can commit terrorist attacks over here, boy. Come on now. Put your head out your ass.
Be sure to do that. Well, thanks for the call, Bubba.
He is right. We do need to get our heads out of our ass.
That's true.
That's why we're talking about some of the things we're talking about tonight.
Boy.
I kind of like that. That was cool.
That was all right.
Yeah. So, have a little boy in their life and be called boy every now and then.
Yeah, that was something else. But, he does make a good point as far as people that have something to gain from all this. And you know, the military contractors have a lot to gain. That's the United States. That's dealing with Saudi Arabia. That's dealing with...
Well, you know, there is one reason that we haven't seen more domestic ISIS attacks. I mean, our Second Amendment has kind of helped us out.
They stand to gain more, though, from an attack on somewhere in Paris, I believe. And the reason being is because, okay, if you get an attack in the United States, it's automatic you're going to war. You know, ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to have to deal with that. And now who backs you up? You don't know. We've already seen our country drag other countries into war. They were like, oh, we're not going to be messing with you anymore. But if it happens to France, then France can be like, we're gung-ho, we're going in. And, you know, us in the UK can be in the background and be like, oh, we're your friends, we'll come help. But it also gives them the opportunity to kind of pull the play that Obama's doing right now, is hold the troops back now, keep the funding going, ramp up the funding, get more training, get more troops, and then when we see Republicans step in 2016, it's all out. We can finally get Assad out like that.
Book deal. See y'all later. I'm out. Yeah. See him courtside at the Bulls game, I'm sure. Chilling.
So what do you think about that, Kevin?
Man, nothing. You know, a lot more. A lot of what you guys have already said. It's a messy situation. I don't get behind me. It was the Israelis or it was the Jews. You know, it's like a.
No, that's you know they.
What? Yeah. There's so many factions behind any.
I'm glad I'm not smoking with that dude smoking.
Goals.
I will say, though, I do believe Mossad is up to a lot more than they want anybody to realize
that. Right, and the CIA, you know, it's just like I have to tell people and explain to people that, in my opinion, the U.S. federal government does not represent the American people, and a lot of other governments do not represent their citizens either.
I don't think any government represents their citizens.
And so when people try to... when I hear that the Jews or the Americans, and they blame their government and lump their government in with their citizenry, it's not that simple. And so I automatically dismiss those charges. But we've seen Israel even openly bombing Syria. You know, it was Israel who bombed Syria several years ago, and Ron Paul being one of the few voices who said Israel had the right to do so, preemptively bombing serious nuclear sites. But there's also, you guys may be familiar with the Greater Israel problem, plan, which is basically a plan to expand the boundaries of Israel way past its borders, and using in various means to do so. Kenneth, I forget his name, escapes me. Has spoken. He's a very intelligent guy who speaks on a lot of various political shows and discusses that's the Greater Israel plan. And if you believe that, it doesn't seem to be a military, conspiracy theory at all. That, you know, I'm not surprised to see that Israel is involved with it. You know, there's so many different factions that have to get their peace in. Israel's a lot closer to Syria.
It is. And Golan Heights quite a few times, and the oil reserves that are found there. And, you know, that's another situation that, look, we stop beating around the bush here. We know what a lot of this is about. No pun intended when I say bush. But there's oil in a certain part of Syria. Now Israel has gone in, annexed part of that land, and now we have the likes of Dick Cheney and... was it
Lord Jacob Rothschild?
Who was the other one? It was Bill Richardson from New Mexico. Mm-hmm. It was somebody else. Somebody crazy.
Oh, gosh. And it was...
Rupert Murdoch.
Nat Geo, man. Yeah.
On the board of directors.
Oh, I just bought that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's NASA source of it right there.
But those guys are investors in Genie Energy, who now have the drilling rights for the Golan Heights. I'm sure that's all just coincidence, though, that Dick Cheney's got his fingerprints on that. He's not up to anything that would require him to be seen.
As far as the board of directors go, that was like the scariest.
It is. Right? Like, that's terrifying.
One board or something. I mean,
it sounds made up. It sounds completely made up.
When I saw it, I was like, no, there's no way this is real.
You know what?
It's so real.
You know what keeps getting missed, and I'm not a little surprised, but not especially the Obama administration in office now, is that Halliburton circumvented legislation and dealt with Iran and bypassed all kind of sanctions to do business directly with Iran for years and years. But, you know, that does not get mentioned either. And I just had to make a
you don't do business with Iran. That's just a bunch of crazy talk.
Right. And,
Come on now. Iran's the evil enemy.
They are, apparently. Although, you know, Obama doesn't seem to be too willing to help out the students in the Green Revolution that we saw several years ago when they were attempting to overthrow the...
yeah, it's just a matter of time. Between the United States and Iran have fallen out quite a bit as of late. We're openly kind of gently reaching across borders. Of course, if you remember in the last election that we had, if you remember the rhetoric about possibly even going to war with Iran.
Oh, yeah.
We had to do a lot of backtracking, and then we're seeing the results of that backtracking now. The relations for the United States and Iran have improved greatly.
How much influence do you think Valerie Jarrett had over there? I think her father had some political... she's apparently Iranian or Iranian-American, but her father had some political dealings with some... through some channels with the Obama administration. I think it's a good thing, you know. Anytime you can avert a war... And I know, you know, you catch heck for this, saying that we've got to do it now to prevent further war. But, you know, if I'm not mistaken, we're working alongside some of Iran's proxies in Yemen. Is that correct? Or, excuse me, are working with Al-Qaeda against Iran's
Yeah, Al-Qaeda's on our good list now.
Yeah, there's certain areas of the region that they're okay with us because they're helping us accomplish, you know, whatever
that's what the
supposed mission is that we... And it's so 1984. No, they were the... No, they weren't the bad guys.
The CFR had the Council of Foreign Relations, big, for those of you not familiar with CFR, look them up. They've got long history influencing American foreign policy. They actually had in their foreign affairs magazine, that's the only one, to come out with a big spread explaining why we needed Al-Qaeda. And I can only imagine what some of these military vets would be thinking. I would think, sure, they're throwing up, thinking that the idea of them fighting alongside the U.S. military, fighting alongside with Al-Qaeda of all groups.
But then again, you have to ask the question, was Al-Qaeda had to begin with?
Well, they were created by us as allies in the 80s.
Conspiracy, crazy, tinfoil hat.
And Osama bin Laden was at one point in the late 70s, early 80s, that we know of on record, was a CIA agent. And, you know, we're told...
Next thing you're going to tell me that the bin Ladens were friends with the Bushes when all that crap went down.
But, you know, this is... When you bring that up, a lot of people say, okay, well, you know, we were their allies, but then they turned on us. You know, that's what happened. They turned on us. Did they turn on us or did we turn on them?
Right. Brzezinski, ironically, Brzezinski, as a bit of Brzezinski, he was Jimmy Carter's security advisor, and he's had a long, still influential history, you know, like Kissinger on his kind of level, a lot of head of the Charles Lateral Commission in the CFR at some point. You know, he actually says that prior to common perception, the U.S. actually was in Afghanistan 6 months prior to Russia actually being in Afghanistan. And his explanation is that we had actually hoped that Russia would come in and that we would hopefully get Russia entangled into the Middle East. And he's not some armchair politician, you know, quarterbacking those Sundays. And this guy knows what he's talking about.
There's pictures actually of Brzezinski and Bin Laden together.
Yeah, there is. So there's a great video on YouTube of him speaking to a group of Mujahideen explaining that they'll have their mosques back and that that God wills it. But his main argument was that was what is worse, what is better for the greater good, the fall of communism, and of course after the fact, or a few radical, for the cost of having a few radical jihadists that you've got to suppress. And now we see what exactly has come about of that.
So what are they trying to topple now if they're repeating pretty much the exact same script?
Ugh.
What's the end game here?
You know, there's probably so many different end games. I think it depends on which one is more influential at this point in time. You know, even it's hard to believe that the powers that be that are over there closest don't have more influence than America's influence. Because obviously, you know, whatever we're trying to accomplish doesn't seem to be working. Unless it's only just to prolong the war effort until we get somebody else involved, and then we say, look, you know, of course, with the I don't doubt the U.S. is going along and trying to push that NATO 5 resolution that France is trying to enact. Of course, calls for if France goes to war, then the U.S. and its allies have to go to war, and therefore we bypass for all intents and purposes constitutionally backed war. We go to war fighting under a NATO flag or a NATO agreement.
And I don't understand how it can be any worse because, you know, you hear talk of Washington politicians when we talk about pulling everything out of that region, just pulling all of our troops, pulling all of our resources. Hey, you guys have it. We're out. And pull everything out of that region, the destabilization of the region. I mean, which one's worse? So they bomb each other or we go in and bomb?
Right.
We set up these little, you know, these little proxy wars, these little, you know, puppet dictatorships, and so on and so forth, and then we go out and when they start acting up.
But we give the impression that we're going to leave at some point, which we never, ever, ever do. We haven't in any country we've ever gone into. But that's the big story: is we're going to go in there and we're going to fix things. We're going to have all this freedom and liberty, and it's going to be great. And it's like Donald Trump. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to come back home and run our business.
Make America great again.
But that's not how it's worked out. Tell you what, we are out of time for the evening. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us tonight. Thank you, Shannon. We will be back on Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. For Anti-Media Radio, this is S.M. Gibson out.
I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.